This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Feminino, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Feminino. 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Okay. Tournament talk, odyssey.com rewind. Get back to it in about 30 minutes. But I want to play this audio for you because I know on a Saturday night, you guys have a lot better things to do than be hunkered down for Pistons Thunder. Now, the Pistons inexplicably lost to the Wizards Thursday. Saturday night was a big game. Place was hype. Crowd was really into it. Was the officiating good? Nah, not really. But that's every night in the NBA. The league is a major problem, and it's officiating, which is part of the reason I'm not going to build a statue of Bickerstaff yet. Part two, you can't have Cade Cunningham get tossed out of the game. Can't happen. But three, you could have still won that game. The problem is SGA embarrassed you on three straight possessions to close the game out. I'm talking the only thing missing was Three Stooges sound effects underneath it. The refs didn't have nothing to do with that. Now, after the game, which you lost, and by the way, the Thunder were down multiple starters. I digress. But Bickerstaff had had enough. Now, I just want to say this. The game prior, didn't your best player shoot 20 free throws? But again, you're facing the Thunder with league MVP SGA, and Bickerstaff had had enough. Take a listen to this, and then we're going to get into it. Okay. So, look, the easy button is, yeah, you did it for Detroit. Look, I like the fire. Lord knows. Last year, you had a sock puppet up there. I mean, Monty couldn't even be brought to try. I think Bickerstaff's done a hell of a job. The frustration on a night-in-night-out basis, I can't imagine it. But here's the problem. First of all, you admitted it. You play a style of ball nobody's interested in, meaning you're physical. You want to be a disruptor. You want to be an outsider. Detroit has always taken pride in being the outsider. Mm-hmm. Well, then don't cry about it when you get treated like one. Second of all, I'm sorry. That is far from the most egregious game I've watched this year. Now, if you're telling me he's going to stand up for his players, you're telling me, hey, he decided this was the moment? Cool. I'm good with it. But I'm sorry. Respect is earned. You coach for a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game in 15 seasons. You're never getting calls when the league MVP on a team that's on course to win 65 games and 120 games over a 2-year span is in your barn. Sorry.
I don't think that Detroit has accepted. They love being outside. I think they've just accepted it and learned how to live with it. Because it's like, okay, you're not going to get the calls. You're not going to get the breaks because of everything you just said. You're not making the playoffs. You don't have the league MVP. But it's like, come on, really? Are you going to treat us this way? You're acting like we're not even, like we can't hear you. So I think that's why Bickerstaff got upset, because he felt like you can at least act as if the game is fair. And like,
but it's not. It never has been. And you know it. You're an old head just like me.
Yeah.
Now, Bickerstaff has a right to do it. I'm not mad at Bickerstaff. I'm amused by it because, long story short, no one does respect the Pistons. Shaquille O'Neal's on national TV talking about, I don't even watch him. So here's the deal. You just got to be better than it. You got to rise above it. You could have won that game, even with Cade getting thrown out. You got cooked on the last 3-4 possessions of that game. Absolutely destroyed. I'm fine with Bickerstaff doing it, but I'm not going to build a statue. You're not going to get respect until you do something. And let's face it, the two greatest generations of the Piston teams have been the teams that Earth hated unless you were in Detroit. Now, this team is not that. They actually are entertaining. But are they a modern version of going to work? Are they more physical? Do they scrap? Do you have kind of a, I mean, whatever Isaiah Stewart is, and, you know, he thinks he's, you know, the Mr. T in the league.
A little bit of a bully ball.
The point is, no one's gonna curry favor with you. You're never going to be handed anything.
No, because you're right. Both of those two teams just took the respect and said, you can respect us or not, we're going to win games. And
that's it.
Commissioner, come hand us the trophy.
Now, if you go make a bold trade this summer, you add a superstar to Cade Cunningham, watch how it's different. The league has always been, is now, and will forever be about stars. You and Detroit have decided that's not for you. You don't want to do it. You want to do it a different way. Well, that's why you've only been relevant twice in 50 years. Now, this team is exciting. They have the ability to be more. They've got to make a big move this summer. I'm fine with what Bickerstaff did, but I'm sorry. I also don't believe, oh, well, Phil Jackson in the playoff. First of all, you're not Phil Jackson. Second of all, you don't have Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. None of that applies. That is a straw man comparison. I've heard that on this station today. I just, you got to stop. Okay. David, you got to let it go. I'm just saying, I'm not mad at Bickerstaff, but it was amusing. It was amusing to me. And the way he crumpled the paper and bounced it off the microphone, yeah. Chef's kiss. But the reality, hey, by the way, too, you want respect? Don't lose to the 13-win Wizards two nights prior. You want to say Cade shouldn't have been tossed out? Your prerogative. Not mad at you. Yeah. The NBA's biggest problem is officiating, and every coach in the league feels that way. So my point to JB would be, who are you, not as a man or a coach, you're a good coach, but who are you in the pecking order of the league to be demanding respect from anyone?
See, I think it's more of a rallying cry for his team to say, hey, guys, I'm going to be here to step up and protect you.
Bang.
Because basically,
yes.
Look at what happened last year. You didn't have a
Which
coach
means
who did that.
You agree with me. It's performative.
It is.
Okay, as long as we're good there, it's performative.
I mean, I think he was frustrated, and I think everything just came out. But in the end,
yeah.
That was a shot to the locker room saying, you're my guys.
I have your back.
And I'll take the fine to make sure that nobody goes out there and messes with you.
I'll take it a step further. I think it was a shot at Cade. Cade can't get thrown out there. Now, I get it. The refs may have been a little too soft on, tech here. But Cade, as your star, he can't get himself kicked out there.
Where are his teammates to protect him from that,
too? That's true, too.
Just saying.
You're right. But I think it was more, to me, I think it's a message to him. Like, I get it. I'm going to protect you here, but you got to stay in these type of games, man.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I
There's
do
no.
What you're
I'm
saying.
Not disrespecting Bickerstaff for the Pistons. I just don't think you have a right to demand anything when you haven't won a playoff game in 15 years. I got bad news for you. You think you're going to get calls in a 7-game series against the Cavs?
No, you're not.
Celtics?
At all. No.
Knicks?
No.
Bucks?
No.
No. Earn it. And you want to earn it because that's the way you want to play. You're not playing. Like, look, you lead the league in dunks. You also lead the league in ball breaking. You can't play the way the going to work or bad boy Pistons played. But you're choosing that's going to be your identity. Because this town has somehow got it in its head, it's the only way we can win. Which is just not true. But you want to embody that, you're doing that. While being entertaining, though, I may add. You're not beating teams 70-67. You're scoring 115 a night. Cade is blossoming into a superstar. It's all the reason why I want to make a bold move for Devin Booker or Lauri Markkanen this summer. Once you do that, watch how it changes.
Right. And for those who say you can't sell your future, yes, you can, because it'll help you win right now. What are you saving those four first-round picks for? Trade them. If that's what it takes, I'd trade them. I don't know if it's going to take four, but if the rumors are Devin Booker costs you four first-rounders, goodbye.
248-539-9797. Your phone calls, ticket texts are welcome as well. Next, 97.1.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Arrhythmias that occur in the top part of the heart can be merely distracting or quite serious, such as atrial fibrillation in the atria, which carries a risk for stroke. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says the most concerning rhythm disorder occurs in the ventricle.
The bottom part has some arrhythmias. The most significant one is ventricular fibrillation, which is the cause of sudden cardiac death, which is the number one cause of death in this country. It almost outweighs all cancers combined. Unfortunately, that could be the first presentation of heart disease, is sudden death. A small percentage of patients who show up with their first heart attack have sudden death, an arrhythmia problem, and that's devastating.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
So we'll turn our attention to the tournament momentarily. We got a little blitz to get to. Tournament does start tonight, the first four. UNC, San Diego State, if you're interested. I mean, obviously, this is the time you lock in. I don't know. I'll be watching. I'm a goofball. But I wanted to bring this up, just a one-segment deal, because I'm not brought to yelling about it. But just yesterday irked me about Torkelson being in right field. And I admit, I've attached the Baez at third thing. I've attached not really having a shortstop thing in the mix. I'm very annoyed right now. But Torkelson played right.
He made a pretty bad gaffe with a throwing error where you try to nail a guy at third, you give away a base, then the ball gets fumbled, the run scores. I mean, it's little league stuff. I don't need Torkelson in right field. At this point in my life, Torkelson is a DH and first baseman. That's it. But they got him in right. They're trying it. They want to see if it's something, another button they can push. Here's a quote. You tell me what your response is. And if you don't have one, if you go, Mike, I don't care, that's also fine. I was kind of excited for the opportunity, Torkelson said, after the Tigers beat the Pirates 9-6. I was like, it can't get much harder than this, so it's only easier from here. Not much action. I wanted a little bit of action. I'm just drained staying locked in. You got to trick your brain to stay locked in out there. I'm not mad at what he said. I'm mad at the situation, which is, why are we asking this guy at this point in the offseason to learn something that's incredibly difficult to do, which is to go from playing first base to becoming an acceptable right fielder, much less an above average one? And what he's saying isn't wrong. It's just, why didn't they go? If they knew they weren't going to be in the market for outfielders and they knew they were one injury away with Parker Meadows from having to try Torque and right, then why wasn't this something you investigated at the conclusion of the season? Mm-hmm. Torque, we want to ensure we can get your bat in the lineup as much as possible. We want this to work. I mean, a lot of teams would have traded him and just gotten him up out of here. He gets a clean slate. You clear a roster spot. Fine, you didn't want to do that. But as we start the season, I want to say this to you again. Rico, who's your shortstop every day? Dunno. Who's your third baseman every day? Dunno. Cole Keith is now at second when Torque's going out there, and you go, all right. Well, the problem is Gleyber Torres isn't going to move around.
Correct.
He's locked in there at second because, by all accounts, he refused to play third. I can tell you factually, he refused to play third with the Yankees. And he didn't want to play third with the Nats. They offered more money. So I'm just frustrated because Torque's being put in a spot, and I'm not absolving him. He has been his own worst enemy in all of this. He just hasn't produced. I'm drained because it's hard to stay locked in and play the outfield. You know, it can't get much more difficult than this, so it's only easier from here. It's March 18th. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? Yeah, Kenny, I'm sorry. Kenny's about to jump through the glass, Rico. Please, you two fight it out. I don't care.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, no, because I saw those quotes, and there was more in that article from AJ. I think he learned that you can do a lot of running in the outfield just even to back up to do different things. It's probably better he didn't get a fly ball based on the elements. This is not something you should be figuring out in the middle of March. I'm not upset by the quotes because the quotes are correct just on a technical standpoint, but why are we learning this now? Why is this the plan starting now?
Because if this was going to be the plan after the season, maybe you ship him down and go play some winter baseball and go learn the outfield. See how you are. Have somebody go down there, check on him. Hey, how's Torque doing out in the outfield? Is this a viable option? Yeah, Skip. Nah, he's struggling out there. Okay, we go into free agency. We got to make a trade. We have to do something. There were ways around this. I agree with you, too. Totally. You shouldn't be blindsided by this because you shouldn't be doing this weeks before the season starts. This is irresponsible.
Well, look, I mean, better now than a regular season game where it's a total embarrassment, but I hear you. And I do. And again, I don't think Torque is a great athlete. It's different when I take a player. For instance, you know, there was a time when Wenciel Perez was a shortstop. Teaching that level of athlete how to play the outfield and doing it in the minor leagues, that's a different equation. Doing this now, where there's real moments where I may need him to play the outfield in a major league game, that to me is something I would view the Colorado Rockies or Chicago White Sox doing, not a team that just made the playoffs and won a playoff series.
Yeah.
That, and again, maybe I'm getting too big for my britches, but this is where I think teams get too cute. And I think the Tigers, in the absence of answering the question by signing real ball players, they're getting cute.
Right.
So, again, maybe it works. Won't be the first time I look like a horse's ass. It won't be the last. But I just feel like we're above this. And by the way,
yeah, you shouldn't have question marks at multiple positions.
And what the Lemmings will say is, well, they like roster flexibility. Look, that depends on the lens you're looking at it through. Is it flexibility or is it that I just don't have any answers?
Necessity. Big difference.
Exactly. Flexibility is I have a high-level ball player like Tommy Edman, who plays for the Dodgers, who can play outfield, short, and second. Mm-hmm. You don't have Tommy Edman.
So I can make a situational move in the game. Okay, you know what? We're going to pull this guy out. We're going to do this. This is more out of necessity. We don't have anybody. So, hey, raise your hand if you can go play outfield. If you played outfield in high school. That's what it feels like. Looks like, seems like.
Noted.
If it's roster flexibility, then he should be able to play right and left. That means corner outfield, he should be okay there. But that's not what this is. And it is frustrating as a fan dealing with this you're right, Mike, March 18th. And I'll give you this. Okay, so they didn't know this. Let's just say had no idea, injuries happened, things were going to be the way they were at the beginning of the offseason. But one thing teams always do is you reevaluate as you get into training camp. As you get into spring training, you say, well, do we need to do something else? Do we need to go get another body? And they didn't. And that's the problem that I have. You got to get some extra bodies. Injuries happen. Things happen. But you had nothing behind them. Nothing.
And that's the problem. It's almost like, did you not see this in the entire offseason? Why is this all of a sudden coming up right now?
Well, again, they had a plan to go get Alex Bregman. Fine. I'm disappointed Jace Young is not apparently close to being able to play because A.J. Hinch did the equivalent of this. Basically said his timing's been off from day one. Oh, boy. He didn't even do the obligatory, you know, it was a really tough decision.
Right, you're right.
He's like, yeah, dude's pretty much terrible from day one. So
he walked up to him. Was this really a surprise, son?
Yeah, and look, I mean, no, last year is not going to be duplicated in the same manner. Can every guy who took a step forward last year not only maintain it but take another step? Does no one get caught by regression? Is the pitching good enough? Like, there's a lot of questions where I start to get nervous of like, man, they got the earmarkings of a team that's going to take a step back. And the division is just bunched. Everyone's basically 82 wins. I don't have time to give wins away. Keep your eye on the torque thing. We'll see. I just wanted to give it one segment, guys. Welcome one and all on a Wednesday. Beautiful afternoon here in Metro Detroit. Nice to have everybody with us. We are 22 hours to be specific from the start of the tournament. We have a lot of ground to cover today. We do have a tournament issue to discuss with people. We have a bit of a choice for you on what you would participate in more freely. We're going to do that at 3 o'clock. Yes, we will get into some of the monotony of the day, which is things like Jared Goff on a TV show and the Lions proposing something at the league rules meetings. But I want to start with this. Kenny has something he'd like to say, and I don't know that I want to hear it because I don't think he means it. This is like Jerry Maguire when he's on the phone, and it's like, show me the money. Say it like you mean it, Jerry. Like, I don't believe what Kenny's about to say. Short of him yelling out,
no, you know, I didn't say
I love
that.
Black people, I love money.
All right, you know,
like, you have to make us believe this because you've done this to us how many times?
I don't think I've done it that often, to be honest with you. I'm usually pretty even keel about my opinions on things.
You are always one win away from being right back with this team that only hurts you. So go ahead, because I watched and I have different thoughts than you have. But go ahead and tell the audience, because I need the hockey elite to tell me what they're doing here. Because I heard Gator say something, and I'm not mad at Scott. I'm not. This is not mad at Scott Theater. Mm-hmm. But he said something, and I couldn't disagree more. He basically said, if you're giving up on the Wings, you're not a real fan.
Oh.
And I go, all right, well, first of all. I don't think that's fair. I think it's totally fair for dyed-in-the-wool, diehard fans to go, you know what? This is fugazi. I'm out. I'm not wasting my time anymore. I don't think that means you're not a real fan. But Kenny, You sat there and allowed that slander and said nothing. I want you to answer for it right now, and I want you to deliver your message of hope.
I can't answer for one Scott the Gator Anderson. He's allowed to have his own opinions, whether we agree or disagree with him. Again, this is not slander Scott hour.
That is a cop-out.
It's not what we're doing.
But I said I'm not mad at him.
What's not a cop-out?
You can't do that, though. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Kate. I tend to agree with you, Rico. But I finally feel relief now. I finally feel a calmness setting over my soul about this Red Wings team this season. Because after last night, I'm out. I'm done. I'll be watching the games. They'll be on in the background. But you know what? I won't be clinging on to every single play like it's the last play of the season. I am out. I am done trying to justify this team, saying they're going to be in the playoffs. They're only, 3 points out. I'm looking at the last 14 games of this season. I think you'd be favorite in three, maybe four of them.
I'll give you the schedule. I have it in front of me. I also have the playoff odds. Please, I have everything for you.
Please do.
He's not done.
Rico calling shenanigans. I like it.
He's not. Kenny, you actually had me. I thought you were done. In pre-show, I thought he was done. What you just told me, you're not done. You know when you're done? When you're not watching. You know when you're done? When it's not background noise.
When he screams, I love black people.
That's asking a lot.
What's hilarious is I was going to do it to prove a point, and then I realized it'd be a drop forever. Exactly. So I'm not going to. No, there's no shot.
You need to stop being so smart. So here's the Wings' remaining games. And again, they got dusted last night 4-1. It's 1-1 into the third, and it was almost a repeat of a couple Friday nights ago. Turns into a clown car. At Vegas, at Utah, at Colorado.
Two losses and a win.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Home, Ottawa. Home, Boston.
You split those if you're lucky.
At St. Louis, home Carolina, home Florida, at Montreal, at Florida, at Tampa, home Dallas, at Jersey, at Toronto.
You maybe win two or three of those.
The point is, their playoff odds right now are the second lowest in the East. You're only ahead of the Boston Bruins amongst listed teams. As we have sat here, Rico, we have made a joke about this to a point that it's absurd to say it, but I mean, this team has been largely stuck for a month. I mean, they're 2-8 in their last 10, mm-hmm. And when you start to look at point totals and different things and you start talking about it, you go, okay, what are we really doing here? I mean, you look at it this morning, right? Mm-hmm. You open up the morning friendly and you're like, oh, this is exciting. Let's check in on the Wings playoff chase. And you see, wait, we're below the New York Islanders who traded their best player? Wait, how did Montreal get up there? I thought they stink. Columbus's best player died. Yeah. Still ahead of you. Like, you're only ahead of teams that are having complete clown car seasons, like Buffalo or Philly, who's in a full rebuild. Ottawa's out of the picture. They have 77 points. Montreal came back last night and won. They have 73 and a game in hand on you. And then there's Columbus with a game in hand. There's the Islanders with a game in hand. And then whatever the Rangers are. The point is, I watching last night, Kenny, it was the same thing. It was the same Russian oak tree that Washington has, this Potas kid or whatever his name is. Another couple amazing plays by him. It's terrible defensive play where two of the goals are basically in the crease, which is unforgivable. A couple of goals could be considered soft, but this is Peter Mrazek. I mean, who am I supposed to be mad at?
Right.
Here's what I am mad at, and I want to throw the number out. And I need Kenny to answer for this, and I need the fans. You know what made me more upset than anything? And I know what Rico's going to do, and just don't do it. Just work with me on this. I'm watching the broadcast, and Kenny and Ozzy, and it's like, well, if this, and this happens, and it's a full moon, and we actually win this game, well, we'd be tied and doo-doo-doo. And I'm like, guys, what are we doing? First of all of the, when you start doing scenario playing of this, and this need to happen, and, oh, that has to be a regulation thing, and you got to hope that Ottawa wins in regulation, da-da-da. And I'm like, well, first of all, you're not going to win this game. And second of all, ease up on the hopium. Mix in a water. Like, I'm watching the game. Just call. And Ken Daniels is good as it gets. But where in the manifesto of calling games in this town do we have to become the Kremlin? Like, I mean, I remember when they traded for Mrazek, Osgood was literally talking like we had traded for Vasilevsky. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy capable of getting hot and carrying the team. Mm-hmm. What? When?
again pre-COVID? I just like what I do. You ever get upset at the broadcast, whether it's Kenny or the Hockey League? Do you ever just get upset that it is always? I mean, whether it's the stat overlays about Sandin Pelikka, okay, hey, someday this kid's gonna fly in on a Swedish helicopter, or last night. Well, if Ottawa can beat Montreal in regulation, and if the Flames can do this, and if we can do this. Oh, Maron. I mean, let's call the game.
They had like a 6-2 of all the prospects that are coming up and on their way. They did the Sandin Pelikka. They did all of that, too.
Do you ever get mad at the broadcast and go, fellas, I'm not asking you to make fun of the team, but you just call the game?
Yeah, no, I get frustrated. I don't get as mad as you. I don't get as worked up as you do, but I do get frustrated.
Across the board, Mike, unless it is a national broadcast, they're salesmen. And they're selling you, keep watching this team.
I can't.
Don't give up on this team. This team. Once again, I've often said, any sport, once you get past the third if, you're not winning
again. It's the same as the Tigers broadcast, though. They do the same thing.
Kenny, it's every broadcast, because most of them are owned by the team. So they can't go out there and just rip the team.
I'm not asking, but that's a straw man.
I'm talking to Kenny.
Still a straw man.
It's not a straw man. How's that a straw man?
Never asked him to rip the team. I know how the game's played.
Okay.
I'm not asking for ad hominem attacks.
You just said call the game. That's all you said.
Right. But you have to call the game with a spin on positive at all times. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying you're ripping the team, but it's just like.
It's okay to just be in the middle.
You're right, but
and
most
call the game.
Most broadcasts always, even if something bad happens,
you know what kills me
will tell you how, well, it's not that bad because you still have more time left. Or this could happen.
I'll see broadcasts from like teams like Philly or Boston or just East Coast teams, and they will be openly negative. And that's not what me and Mike are asking for, to be fair. But at least call it honest.
Here's what I want to know.
If your team is good, you could probably get away with being, as Mike said, a little more honest. But when the team is bad, you're salesman. You got to make sure you keep the people around.
Okay. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. So I'm just going to move on now.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was just talking to Kenny.
I don't care if you're talking to God. I understand what's being said, but it upsets me. So let's do it this way. I want to know from the people. Let's do this. What Rico's saying is true. Let me say that for the people in the back. That's not what I'm trying to do. I want to know what fans want. Because watching that Wings broadcast last night, that was offensive to me. Well, if this team does this and this team does this and I guess the winning lottery number and it's a full moon, we might be tied in things. Stop. Call the game. Just like last week, you're falling apart against Utah or whatever it was. Oh, roll that beautiful Pelikka footage. Enough. He's not even on this side of the globe. Or do you like it? Call up and tell me you like it. Or you like me and Kenny and Rico, because Rico's right, but he doesn't like it.
I think it gives fans this copium that they've been looking
for. It is!
That's all that it is.
The Wings are falling apart. It's the third straight swoon. I don't need Baghdad Bob. Just call the effing game. Well, you know, they tried hard tonight. They lost 4-1. I can't take it. I watch the games and I'm seething. Not only because this team's going to miss the playoffs again. How about last night? You're playing a team who you lost a tiebreaker to on the last game of the season. They're 45-15. What did they do last offseason that you didn't besides everything? God forbid they bring that up. No, I don't need to be sold a lot. Well, let's go around the league. And if all these things happen, I hit the lottery. Newsflash. They're not happening. Wings are +1,000 to make the playoffs in year 6.
I was just going to tell you, yeah.
+1,000.
+1,000.
I want to know when you watch the broadcast, do you want what you're being served? No one is asking for ad hominem attacks. I'm simply saying, don't bleep on my head and tell me it's raining. Okay?
If something is bad, it's okay to say, you know what? That's bad. If something doesn't work, you know what? This isn't working. Or just, you know what? We need to get better at this. Or, you know what? I have a problem with that. That's all you're asking.
Thank you.
I get it.
Thank you.
I understand.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the situation. And I'm also mad that Kenny's lying to us again. He's not done.
He's not. Because if you say, Kenny, on the glass, two seats.
Yeah.
He's there.
He's there. But if you are done with the Wings, I'd like to hear it. I don't know what choice I have. And yes, every once in a while, they'll beat a good team. But the bottom line, they're not on these teams' level. I mean, Washington, they can play a flat game, flip the switch, turn it on, bury you, and go have dinner. I mean,
your solution was bringing back Mrazek.
Look at the way Washington moves the puck. Look at the speed they play at. I mean, my God, I mean, it's almost like the Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. Go ahead. I mean, I'll tell you what, hold that thought. 248-539-9797. Do you get angry at the broadcast like I do, or do you like it? It's your version of Hopium. Because I can't take it. It's unbelievable to me. And I don't need a tax. Just call the game.
Well, did you know if these 17 things happen, we're technically still in the chase?
3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. Happy March Madness to everybody. We'll have another tournament update for you in about 40 minutes. We got a lot to do. We're going to get to the Michigan game in a little bit. But we wanted to change gears. It's 3 o'clock. And if you are working today, there's a bit of an issue. Obviously, if you listen to this show, you have high odds of liking sports and caring about March Madness. Here's my question. First of all, it wouldn't shock me to see people starting to slip out of the office at about 3 o'clock. It's just a nondescript.
Those are the ones that are just late to the party.
Exactly.
Because the veterans have already left.
I know, but I wanted to make sure, look, maybe some people believe, look, I'm going to give the illusion I was productive today, but I will be out for the 4 p.m. games.
Fair.
So here's my question. If we put it on a scale of productivity of 1 to 5, my question to the people is, what is your productivity on March Madness kickoff? And what are some of the duplicitous things you are doing in order to watch basketball? What are the games you're playing? And it goes well beyond having a scoreboard up on your monitor and some AirPods in. I want to know the lengths you've gone to stick it to the man today so you could watch basketball. I mean, I heard some stories. Rieger did something and people started calling in about the lengths they were going to get the day off. Like, what do you do on a day where you can't get the day off? Now, you're at work, but you want to watch March Madness. It's important work. Now, the productivity goes down. That's why I want people to give me their answer. But also, I'm more intrigued of how are you hiding the fact that you're watching basketball from your boss? How are you pulling it off? Because, again, the technology today, it's a whole different ballgame than the way it used to be. Whether it's your phone, a tablet, the computer, streaming, it could be the audio of it, a click of a button away. You don't even need a radio anymore. I'm always intrigued by it because days like today, I kind of view it like the half day they used to give you in school before Christmas. Like, why bring the kids in for the half day, Christmas break? Everyone's mind is on it. You're not teaching anything.
No.
It's like calling a decision maker in the world of advertising Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. You're not getting that person on the phone.
Yeah.
So today, if I ran an office and it was, I don't know, from a group of people standpoint, I knew my people cared about college basketball or were sports people, I think I would just give up the ship. I would just go, you know what? I'm not even fighting you today.
Now, I like the half day right before Christmas vacation because that normally ends up being a movie day anyway. It's like,
right.
I could have watched this movie at home. I didn't need to be here for this. But you had to be there for attendance purposes.
Right.
And that's it. So somebody can justify their salary.
Right. Now, today, look, for us, it's a bit different. We're going to talk about the games. And in the commercial breaks, I'll get to see them. So my productivity doesn't change. But in a standard office setting, I can't imagine a lot's getting done today. Now, no, please don't call in and go, well, I'm the head of cardiology. Well, I'd hope you're not distracted by Montana, Wisconsin. Like, you're not going to be streaming a game while someone's chest cavity is open and you're fixing their heart.
But I bet you they got somebody giving.
No, I don't want to live in that world.
What's the update? Who's winning? All right. Because, I mean, they're in there for hours. You know they're talking about different things. Or maybe they got the game piped in. They'll probably never admit it, but yes, I get what you're saying. But I think most people will find a way to get this thing done. I think probably the easiest thing, if you're stuck at work, is you have it on your laptop or your computer screen, but you got something over that screen. You got another page that you can just click back and forth when nobody's watching you. You can watch the game. Oh, here comes the boss. Let me hide that page and just listen to it in my ear.
What about the executive lunch break? See, that to me would be your best move.
Yeah.
Because no one really pays attention. I mean, like, we don't have a job that has a standard lunch break, but I mean, the lunch break gives you an hour. So you push it to an hour 15. Now, you're not going to get away with that on a job site. That's not going to work. It's 30 degrees. Guys are busting their ass. You can't go gallivanting around town for an hour and 45 minutes if it's an hour break. Because then when you come back, somebody's going to hit you with a nail gun. That's not going to work. But I just, in a standardized form, look, if you're on the job site, maybe somebody's nice enough to have some audio rolling while you guys are doing your thing.
He's supposed to be digging his hole. No, where is he?
No, David, you know how you get around that? You take your lunch break. And you bite the bullet and say, hey, guys, I'm going to buy lunch for everybody, but it's going to take a while for that order to get done. And you just extended yourself another 30 to 45 minutes. But you got to come back with the food. So it's going to cost you. But nobody ever gets angry if you bring donuts back.
Yeah, I would negotiate with that. I'd be happy to provide services, food, whatever it takes, if it means I got to watch more basketball.
Now you had a lovely spread here.
Well, I want to do something nice for you. We're not in Vegas. This is like heaven where I'm just chilling out with you guys doing the show versus
I walk in, there's a concierge. You try this.
No, listen, I wanted to cater a nice spread for you guys. Kenny and Evan made a executive request, and I said, okay, we can do that. Now, here's the problem. So you start talking menus for tonight and all that stuff. I would love to know what people got going on. The problem is, I got the spot that I got, I don't want to tell nobody what it is. And it's not a conflict with sponsors.
You just don't want people there.
No, because if I say where I got everything, I'll never be able to order from this place again.
Yeah, please don't. Every so often, I'll stop by there after work on my way home, and it's boom, a secret. In and out, no problem.
It's a secret.
It is.
But the minute I do that, and make no mistake, we made that mistake a couple of times in the history of this show. You'll never be able to order from the place again. So, no, that's not a flex. It's just we have a very loyal audience, and people trust the recos that come out of this show, and I do not want to be shut out from this very secret honey hole delivery place.
That's good.
Hey, let me tell you. Do you know the guy who was most excited? Right over there. We have audio of David's first bite. You're taking the family this weekend. You
I am going
that,
this weekend.
Huh?
Oh,
that's
yes.
Right.
Really?
So
yes.
I'm just telling you. I would love to share it with the listener, but I fear that if I do, I'll be shut out.
No, David, I understand, because after the first bite, I got an eyebrow raise. Like, whoa, hey, no, that was not me. Hey, okay.
Well, Scott, please. 248-539-9797. So take us inside your office right now. Use a fake name if you have to. I don't care. Is your productivity at zero? It's 312. Maybe your boss is a stickler. They're not letting you out early today. How are you getting by? I mean, listening to us in your earbuds is one thing. But when we're talking about a visual medium like you want to have a game on, how are you getting away with it? See, for me, I'm easy. As long as people get their stuff done, I don't care what you do. I don't. It wouldn't bother me in the least. As long as you're getting your tasks. But see, I would also take it a step further. If I ran an office today, I would probably just say, all right, guys, listen, the expectations are very low, okay? Just don't pick your nose or bleep yourself at your desk. Can you get half the stuff you normally get done, and I'll have basketball on all day? Can we call it even? All right?
Yeah, I would incentivize it and say, okay, what can we get done Monday through Wednesday? So that when Thursday comes around, all the way up to noon on Thursday, let's get talk to your clients,
right.
Let's get everything done, because then after that, yeah,
nothing's happening. Like, listen, this is why I love my wife. This is why she is my perfect person. She planned a girls' night. She knows what's up. I ain't talking to you. I may not talk to the dogs. I don't know yet. We'll see. The point is, I will. Those are my guys. We're going to watch the Michigan game together. But no, I'm being serious.
Like, no respect of personal space, but yes.
Rico, they're dogs, and when you invite them to take more, they're going to take more.
I can't help you with that. They don't violate my personal space. I don't put up with that. You, oh, forget it.
You know, it's like being an uncle. Come on. Come on.
Okay. Well,
you know how it is. You're
no,
the uncle,
I,
so
no,
you can...
I don't, because I've watched. Look, Otis may be diagnosed with cancer. I've still watched him mount you and try to make a baby with your thyroid. I'm like, dude, you got to take that dog away. What are you doing? He's climbing up Mount Rico, and I'm like, Reek, you got to put a stop to it, or he's just going to keep taking.
He's trying to leave a legacy.
Oh. David,
just
please.
I'm just glad to see little fella's got energy.
He does.
That actually is good.
He's still partying, man.
I don't care.
And again, I know that we never intended on being a three-dog household. It just, we wanted to have a dog kind of integrated if Otis was moving across the Rainbow Bridge. He said, F that. Right. You ain't replacing me. He's turned into training day. He's Lorenzo.
Right. He really is. Like, oh, I see what you're doing.
Oh, all you bitches.
Okay, you know what? Y'all going to be playing basketball in Pelican Bay.
You're going to do this to me. I didn't do anything, man. I thought you weren't going to be here.
I'm putting cases on all of y'all.
I ain't going nowhere. Right. It's quite a scene.
Need some help?
No. No. Dr. X, what can I do for the cause? Nothing. 248-539-9797.
You were in on this, Rock.
Mm-hmm. 3 o'clock. Nice to have you with us. We opened the show talking about Michigan's win last night. They get ready for Texas A&M tomorrow. We'll get to a little Michigan State later, but I have a question. We need to have a little bit of a summit meeting at 3 o'clock. We'll get to our tournament update at 3:45. Gentlemen, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know you were awake because you texted me. I can't confirm Kenny or David being awake when that game concluded, but I want to ask this two ways. First of all, why do we need to start basketball games after 10 p.m.? We have games all day. Without sounding like Estelle Getty, I'm just asking. That game didn't tip off until like 10 after 10. You weren't in bed, and I don't want to hear any of this. Well, I'm daredevil. I'm fast. Listen, you weren't in bed until 12:45 at the earliest. And you sure as hell weren't asleep immediately unless you're a Navy SEAL and you know that trick where they can all fall asleep in 30 seconds. Yeah, you on an airplane. So I want to ask, A, why the hell are, like tonight MSU starts at 10-ish. You know that's going to be afterwards. Here's my question. Is the fact... I mean, I look, my alarm goes off at the same time every morning, right? I'm up at 6:45. Have I become an old man that the late night sports thing, like I used to love Pac-12 after dark. Thank God the league folded. I can't make it.
Really?
Last night, that was a street fight. Luckily the game picked up and it got intense and I was up. Here's the problem. I'm feeling it today. You would have thought I went out. 6:45, it was like the Undertaker. Like, where am I? What's going on? What happened? I just went to sleep. Gentlemen, can we have a consensus here as grown adults and Kenny? Do we officially have a problem with the 10 p.m. start?
Yeah, well, you know why the 10 p.m. start is there, right?
No.
It's for the West Coast people.
F them. They don't even care about sports.
Your fault. It's TV.
That's for West Coast people. That was a 7 o'clock game for them.
They don't even like sports. Why do we cater to them?
Well, you know,
I agree. We don't need to cater to
them.
They
got the Lakers and Dodgers. They, you know, they like
they're
sports.
There. They have enough. I'm just saying, can't you start the game at 9:30? 9:15? Why do we need a 10:15 start?
I think they just stagger them so they go all night. So, yeah. It's,
yeah, you mean deep into the morning?
Yes.
Okay.
And on the East Coast? Yeah, absolutely. It does. Now, it sucks when your team plays that final game.
Oh, you mean like
because,
tonight?
Yeah, you're almost held hostage because you're like, man, you want to go to sleep. So, Mike, yeah, as you get older.
I'm older.
You got to do a couple of, either A, you can't get up at the crack of dawn, or B, you got to take a little power nap.
Oh, dear God.
So we can't live a life is what you're saying.
No,
we have
David,
to watch
you
the
can
game
live
and,
a life.
But we have no life in the morning.
You're not 20 anymore where you could just go nonstop.
No, you're right about that because I told Kenny this. At about the 10-minute mark left in the second half, I decided, okay, let me shift from the front room and then me have my iPad and I'll go into my room. I'll kind of shift. And literally, I can't tell you who did the post-game interview because as soon as that clock went off, I turned over, it was done.
See, I mean, done. I went home, took a power nap. I'm texting with Rieger for about 30 minutes after the game.
The ball barely hit the rim, and I turned the game off, too. I didn't see anybody.
I can't do this.
I was done. Look, if this is strictly boomer behavior, you can say it. I'm just telling you. And this is also, this is the other thing now. First year we haven't been in Vegas in 15 years. Remember, 10 p.m. here, 10:15, that's 7:15 out there.
West Coast.
Different thing.
West
Coast. Different thing. This is a problem.
They got oxygen being pumped into the casino.
Yeah, well, I'm going to need that to make it to the end of MSU Bryant tonight.
No, you're exactly right, because when you're there, you get to the end of the slate, and you're like, wow, the games are over? You don't even realize
it. It's the excitement. It's watching. It's the oxygen that they have. Yeah, and at home, you're comfortable. You're on your couch. You're in your chair.
But whether it's Red Wings, 10:30 start on the West Coast, Tiger baseball, going to start the season on the West Coast, these have become a problem for me.
But yeah,
these are not good. I used to be the king of the league pass. Oh, it's Kings-Lakers at 10:30? Sign me up. Now? Goulet.
You can't do the power nap, can you?
No.
That helps.
I know. Maybe it's a me thing. But I wanted to stand up for my people. I think there's plenty of people like me who look at this, whether you're a Wolverine or a Spartan, you go, first of all, that game's not starting at 10 o'clock.
Well, see, here's the problem that I have is when you're doing that on the East Coast. Like, if you were in Washington and you were playing that game at 10 o'clock, I get it because it's 7 o'clock out there. If it's in L.A., if it's in Las Vegas, if it's in Tempe, yes. But I'm with you. A game in Cleveland not start at 10 o'clock.
Thank you. That, and again, I'm not asking for 7 o'clock as the last tip. I mean, can we get a 9 p.m.? 9:15. I mean, do me a kindness. Can the game start on one day and finish before the next day? That's kind of my rule. Now, you get three overtimes, I'll live with it. Yes, Kenneth.
If you just shifted the start of the first games that are played and just take all of them and shift them 1 hour earlier, start them at like 11:15 instead of 12:15, that game turns into a little after 9 o'clock start, problem solved.
Done. I'm in. Yeah. Something. Brunch.
And that means West Coast, that'll be about a little after 6 o'clock.
I don't care.
Because the West Coast is like, why do games have to start over breakfast at 9 o'clock
this
in the morning?
This is why someone on the West Coast doesn't win the Heisman Trophy. No one cares.
But yeah, Pac-12 after dark, Rich Rodriguez, it was made for him.
How do you think I figured out about Jonathan Smith? I used to be able to do this. Turnover chainsaw. Now, yeah. Forget it. Rutgers and USC earlier this year, the game started at 11. I might have saw four snaps.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to get a power nap, Mike, because I would not recommend a Red Bull after 9 o'clock.
No. I wanted to ask the question.
At that point, you're out playing fetch with the dog.
That's right. I'm running around with
guys, come on.
I'm running around with a chew toy in my mouth. Anybody else struggle with this? Or is it like, again, Tigers are going to start on the left coast. That's a disaster. Oh, great. A 10 o'clock start in Seattle. Can't wait. What? Same thing with these tournament games. MSU tonight at 10. It'll be 10:17 first tip. You're dead.
And you got to hope that the game before, the Marquette-New Mexico game,
doesn't go to overtime.
Ends on, like, regularly.
Yeah, see, while I know they're not going to make the playoffs, the Wings, back in the day, growing up, when they were on the West Coast.
Oh, series against Anaheim?
I could take that.
No problem.
I could take, now, if they were on in the Western Conference now.
Now the schedule comes
please,
up.
Please. I'm never going to see a San Jose game, never going to see Seattle,
David,
Vegas, none of it.
Dave, let me ask you a question. Did the kids even try to stay up? Were they at school, correct?
No, because they get up at about 5:30, 5:45, my oldest.
No shot.
So he didn't stay up to watch it, which sucks as a fan. As a Michigan fan, he couldn't stay up to watch that game.
Well, see, that's why I guess if you're a diehard Michigan fan, you probably just took today off and just.
Wait, what did you just say?
If you're a diehard Michigan fan.
You're funny.
Oh, I thought you were going to play the other drop.
No, I mean, that's Rieger.
What is this?
You've labeled it to one person, Rieger. Well, Rieger, that's what Michigan fans find when they find out they got a basketball program.
I say Rieger was fired up. I mean, we're texting each other, and
he's the best fan they got.
And then I was so up. I'm like, let me go on the show sheet while this is all still fresh.
Oh,
in my
Jesus!
Head.
Okay, then.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, that went on at around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Like tonight, I'm dreading this. It sounded great when the schedule came out. You're like, ooh, 10 o'clock Friday. Cut scene.
At least you could sleep in tomorrow.
Won't happen.
You just can't see.
No, it's a weird part when you get up the same time every day. Your body doesn't differentiate between weekday and weekend. Yeah.
Oh, it's Saturday. No.
No.
It's still 6:45.
No. It's a Folgers commercial every day.
Take an extra gummy for me.
Dead.
Get the weighted blanket, the gummy, you'll be fine.
Up next, Rico puts me in a coffin. Dave, what do people got? Because I just want to know, like, it's okay. Guys, hey, if you're telling me it's not a big deal to you, fine. I struggle to get to the end of these games. And with the Tigers starting on the left coast soon, that's going to be a struggle.
No, I mean, and I get it, Mike, because of who you, like, I use a cheat code. I'll take a power nap, and then I'm up for the rest
of
the
night. Are you sure you're not Walter Sleepy Sharp? I feel like you got narcolepsy or something. Rico snaps his finger. Gone.
I really wish that I could do that, Rico. Just snap a finger and fall, take like an hour nap and then just come back.
Kenny.
No problem.
Kenny, they haven't even played the absurd video on the airplane. He's gone.
They haven't even gone through the pre-flight instructions and emergency exits and all that. Rico's already out.
Gone. Wow. He's already reached REM sleep. Gone. He's got his little face mask. Out.
I'm so jealous of that.
Out.
Yeah, you just realize there's nothing you can do. I check my cameras.
Not doing that. 248-539-9797. We will get to the people. Ticket text coming in. And I will take all the slander if you go, oh, please, I love the late night games. I'm just being honest with my audience. Luckily, the Michigan game picked up because if that was anything other than scintillating, I was dead. Tonight, Michigan State Bryant. Oh, boy. Might have to have Rico take a few notes later. I don't know. If that game doesn't start till 10:17 and the way they're jamming these commercials in, you can give me the 1 a.m. report.
All right, I will.
Email it over.
I got it.
I'll check it in the morning. David, go ahead.
We can't even go to the grocery store after 10 p.m. anymore because nothing is 24 hours yet. We still have to stay up till 10:30 to start a game. I'm good. Don't need it anymore. We need earlier starts. I was up until 1:30 a.m. watching Michigan. Through a close win like that, you're supposed to just go to bed and fall asleep? No way. Latest time should be 9:15, though.
I'm sorry. What did the game arouse you? I mean, what do you mean? Yes, I'm going to bed.
No, he was excited.
No, because if you're a Michigan fan, it's the adrenaline of, okay, we finally won this thing.
You're right. It's awfully exciting discovering you have a basketball team.
I'm 25 with two kids and a dog. Alarm clock during the week goes off at 4:45. I stand no chance against these late games.
He's dead because you're still waking up at that time. Go ahead and stay up for Tigers-Dodgers next week. Let me know how to treat you. It's brutal. I want to ban the West Coast. Can we do that?
No, I'm just saying because they complain like for NFL, like, yeah, you got to get up early to watch the 1 o'clock games.
Well, they should leave. Who the hell wants to live there anyways? Fires, earthquakes, high taxes. Get the hell out of there. Join us EST.
Sun, beach.
Nah. That's so over. All of that's overrated. Think about the things I just said. Sun, beach, my house burnt down while I went to go get gas. No, absolutely not. It's 70, not equal.
70, then 20, then 50, then 70, then 10 degrees.
Traffic.
No
that's
fire. No hurricanes. No earthquakes.
No droughts.
Correct.
Look out for the house fire on my cams.
Oh, my God. I want to shout out my cameras. The whole state just burnt down. Hope your house didn't. Mine didn't. I'm home.
You're so wrong.
I mean, her traffic reports are the best. I'm sorry. Oh, your Friday commute is screwed. Be patient. I'm already home. Welcome to your weekend, whenever you get there.
Watch out for that mudslide on I-75.
Right. UFOs just blew up, crashing. Let's move on. All right. We'll get to the people momentarily. And if I sound like one of the Golden Girls, you can tell me it's okay. My feelings won't be hurt. That late start last night, followed by this tonight. You got Tigers on the left coast. Our sleep pattern is screwed. Remember when you get a dozen eggs for a couple of dollars? Yeah, well, that's done.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.